Abbey Road Records Show.
Heavy metal, rock and roll is always going to be with us. Day after day, year after year, it's never going to die.
Who likes rock and roll? Yeah!
Abbey Road Records Show.
Put down the boxing gloves and try and just get it together.
Wow, we haven't been bossed around by Paul McCartney since last year.
No, we haven't. It feels like it's been a while.
Oh, geez, it's been a while.
Here we are. Man, Shabby Road looks just as good as it did when I left her.
Wait. Ah, smells bad, too. Yeah.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
And it's NRBQ.
Yes,
behind
it
us,
is.
Underneath us.
All up in you. Got some NRBQ all up in you. Hey, it's a new year. Whole new era of Shabby.
I know. I'm excited for 2016. There's all kinds of cool stuff we have in store for you guys this year.
Yeah, I just like to kick last year right in the balls. On a personal, level.
Not about the show. Just,
the show was great.
Yes. Yeah, the show was fantastic.
It's the only reason I live.
Wow. We got to get you a hobby.
I need to get into, spelunking or something.
And I crawled into a cave to die. All right, well, let's just get cracking. We got some fun stuff here tonight, that's for sure. So let's get it going. Hey, Laba.
Hey, Laba.
Welcome back to the Shab. It's time to light the lights and decanter the libations for another Shabby Road Records Show, the hipster-free vinyl podcast. I'm your co-host, Ryan McCade. I'm joined, as always, by winner of the Sexiest Legs in Podcasting Award, A.D. Adams.
Well, me and my gams, thank you. Happy New Beer, everybody. Happy New Beer.
Exactly.
Woo! I'm looking forward to, a lot more of great vinyl this year, man. There was some good stuff we went on last year, and looking forward to more of that, There's some... endless vinyl. It's out there. Go looking for it, man. That's the whole purpose of the show.
Spelunking for vinyl.
Yes, spelunk for vinyl. We don't talk about it that much, but new listeners, that's the whole reason we started this podcast is because we're just vinyl freaks.
Yes.
And you find a record you like, and you go, I wonder what they listened to. And you start going back in time, and then you go forward in time and hear modern bands that seem like they have the same influence on that record you love so much. And it's just great, and it's endless. It's endless, man. There's so much great vinyl, and we're, by God, trying to scoop all of it up. So get out there quick, or we're going to have all of it down here.
That's right. Well, joining us on the Astrovan bench seat, we've got Liz Morgan.
Yes.
Speaking of decantering the libations.
Yes. I don't know what that means.
I don't even know if I could use decantering as a verb.
Sure you can. Down here
decanter.
You can.
Decantering? Decanter. I don't know. But check this out.
Great segue.
Thank you. I'm a little rusty. We haven't been in here for a month.
And I'm a little bit rock and roll.
So I got two mystery boxes here on my side of the room.
Well, that's kind of not fair now, is it?
You see my original mystery box?
I do. I've seen that mystery box. I've seen your box 1,000 times,
Ryan. OMB, yes, sadly. And I've got another one. And can you read what that says?
Well, that says BJ's mystery guest mystery box.
We have a special guest.
We have to be talking about BJ Kahuna.
Yes, from Rock and or Roll podcast, one of our favorite shows. You actually heard us on the show, on his show a couple weeks ago. We put the episode out where we discussed sophomore slump. So BJ, but he's not here at Shabby Road.
Ah, he's smarter than we are.
And first, let me introduce Ricky Serrano, who's running the controls.
Yes, bravo.
Because HAL 5000 is not with us tonight, AD.
What?
There's a virus inside of HAL.
Has Richie Blackmore sacked him?
No.
He got a virus on the road.
He's got a virus, and we were trying to clean it out. It's BJ 5000 tonight.
Oh.
Yes.
Sorry.
Hello there, AD and gentlemen. Hello there, AD and gent. Are you ready to rock?
Thank you. Well, hello, BJ 5000.
Wow.
Welcome to Shabby Road.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. This is my first time being in a real recording studio.
Oh, that's nice.
Well,
that's
cool, yeah, I guess I still haven't been in a real recording studio.
Oh, okay.
I was just going to say, he seems a lot nicer than HAL 5000. But
so far. Yeah, he does seem pretty nice. I think it's maybe nice for HAL to take an extra week off and really... focus on.
Well, see the doctor and get that thing cleared up.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Is that right, BJ 5000?
So how do you say your name, Ryan?
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. I think I'm starting to turn a little bit on BJ.
That's what I'm saying. The first one was nice and happy. The second one was okay.
Maybe some of Hal's anger is still lingering in the innards of that computer, and it's infecting BJ.
And they may know each other.
If you say so.
So we got a bunch of BJ Kahuna drops. This is going to be good.
Uh-huh,
this is
yeah.
going to be good.
So what does AD stand for anyways? Dyslexic asshole?
Well, that would be D-A, wouldn't it now?
Dyslexic. That's the joke. Dyslexia.
Right, and it's backwards. That's fucking funny.
Boy, you were not smiling when you said that.
I am. I'm smiling ear to ear.
So BJ has two records in a mystery box for us. So we've each got two tonight, and he's going to... hopefully he's written notes. I have not opened this mystery box.
Well, hence the word mystery.
You'd think that if, you know, sitting in my room at home, I would have just, the curiosity would have got the best of me, but no, I have not opened it. So I don't know what's inside. I hope there's notes on the records.
So that's hermetically sealed and put in a mayonnaise jar, hermetically sealed, placed in a mayonnaise jar and put on the porch of Funkin' Wagnall's house.
Wow.
Since last Thursday in May.
Okay. If you say so.
All right. And let's see. I guess that takes care. Oh, one more thing, AD.
Yes.
And it's cause for celebration.
Well,
we're kicking off 2016 in the right way because there's beer at Shabby Row.
Don't I know that?
As a matter of fact, there's a lot of beer. It's kind of been piling up while we've been on hiatus.
Good.
Yeah. So it's going to be another 6-hour podcast. No, Janet Engel, who is a friend of Steven Seaborg's that came out to,
yes.
They were out in Chicago to see us,
yeah.
But she was turned on to the show by Steven Seaborg, of course, and first thing she did is bought a round of beers.
Janet, thank you.
And another friend that we saw on the road, I believe we saw her in New York City, Miss Karen Waters.
Oh,
yes.
Karen.
Karen also dropped some gifts off to us a while back. I think that Love Gun record and... yeah.
Big signed autographed t-shirt. Yeah, big framed autographed Kiss t-shirt.
Yeah, that's very
right?
cool. So
hanging
Karen
up here in the Shab right now. Thanks, Karen. It's always good to see you, too.
Yeah, it was great to see her at the Cutting Room in New York when we played there.
New York.
New York. And Janet Engel, yeah.
Thank you, Janet, for listening
to the show. And welcome to Shabby.
Welcome aboard. What are you, crazy?
Right.
No, we love you. Thank you.
So anything else before we get cracking?
No, I just want to say, the website looks good.
Oh, thank
you.
Update
yes. on that, Ryan. Yes. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
If you say so.
Okay, BJ.
right, there you go.
All right, BJ5000.
That guy.
I think we're going to fight a little bit.
Yeah.
So
I'd love to have them both in here, so, him and Hal.
Yeah, go over to our website, shabbyroadrecordshow.com. You could buy us the beer there. I forgot to mention that. There's a PayPal link, and that's how you supply the beer in the fridge here at Shabby Road, which is always greatly appreciated here.
Yeah.
But it's got a whole new design. The main thing I wanted to do was to get all of the episodes easily categorized. So the side boobs, the Who Did It Better, the Lifers, and then these regular episodes are all sort of in their own little place on the website. So go check it out. It's got a whole new look.
Yeah.
A little more functionality. And I'm glad you brought it up because we do need you to go to the website and vote for the second annual Shabby Awards.
Yes, we need – you know what? We need some sort of pre-award show sort of awards-type music.
I don't know if BJ5000 has that, but I'm sure Hal has that.
Yes.
So, hey, are you guys going to do another episode soon where you give yourselves awards?
Yes, BJ5000, we are doing that.
You're damn straight we are.
As a matter of fact, you just lost out on winning a Shabby Award for the third annual Best Drop.
Actually, of course.
So yeah, it's real easy to vote. There's currently four categories up. So go to our website and click the vote tab. Go find the vote and they're all there. It's just a simple poll. You don't have to enter any information. Just click away and then you can check the results and... I believe there's one where you can even do a write-in candidate, best song.
I think G-Man asked about it. He goes, I got one I think should fit. Could I put it right in? You're like, absolutely.
And he did. And your vote definitely counts. You guys are the ones that are going to determine who the winners are on all these categories.
Well, there are no winners here.
No, not really.
But so really, and also, you know, while you're at it, if you listen to us on iTunes, go ahead and drop on there and write us a review. If you like the show, write a review in there. That helps us look good. Makes us look like we know what we're doing.
Yeah, and yeah. Appearances can be deceiving.
If you say so.
Okay. Okay, well.
Well.
Next thing to do is to draw to see who goes first between me and AD.
Yeah.
BJ will go third.
How's your mystery box look, by the way?
I've got a very interesting one. I hope I go first because my goal was to bring a complete barn burner to open 2016. So I've done that. So I think you said you did that too, right?
Yeah, but I might even call an audible. I got two chambered, and either one's. If I go second, I'm going to play my pick.
And then I got something new that is very interesting. New-ish. It's only a decade old, but it's new to us because we usually stay in the 70s and 80s.
Well, it's new as far as vinyl, too, goes because mm-hmm. vinyl just started becoming popular again. So.
Yeah.
But, I've got a monster classic from 1969. It's as big as it gets in my book.
Ooh.
And then my other pick, which is going to be my first pick, is a monster classic from 2012. It's as big as it gets in my book.
Is it the Kiss Monster album?
Oh, no.
Of course not.
No.
I like that record. I'm going to bring it in one of these days. Yeah, you'll like it. You should listen to it.
I will. I will. No, I will. There's a couple of old records. Like, I'm starting to get into later. The post Nightmare, Alice Cooper. I've got Lace and Whiskey.
Mm-hmm. That's okay.
And then now I got Goes to Hell. And I'm
Goes to Hell is good.
Yeah, oh, that's great. Yeah, it's a great album. But I didn't used to kind of like it a lot, And so I'm creeping forward with my Cooper.
That's good. Now you can creep forward with your Kiss.
Yeah. I plan on doing that.
You should.
Yeah. Creep forward with my Kiss. That was a movie that I did.
Oh, no.
And actually, that was the late 80s. I was kind of washed up. I had retired by then. And hence the title.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I never heard of that one. Yeah. It must have been on a different label or something.
It came out on a compilation.
Yeah. So Ricky's got two playing cards, a red card and a black card. They're behind his back. AD is the red side. I'm the black side. And Liz is going to pick one of the hands that Ricky has, left or right.
Left.
And it's left.
Black.
And it's black, and it's me. Oh. I do get to kick it off. Awesome.
All right.
Well, yeah, I got a real good barn burner here to start out 2016. It is a classic, stone cold classic record. It is from the 80s, but it's good, good early-ish 80s, and maybe the last great record that this band ever did.
Wow, okay.
So let me start by saying, one of the many great quotes that Winston Churchill gave was, "Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few."
I remember that great quote.
Yeah, he uttered those words on the 20th of August, 1940. And he was speaking on the Battle of Britain. Do you recall the Battle of Britain?
I do.
He's like, I was in it.
No, I wrote it.
It's a pivotal point in the European theater of World War II, right?
Absolutely.
And it's one of the most famous air battles in all of human history. Mm-hmm. And
it would have been lost had it not been a dark, cloudy day.
Oh, is that true?
Absolutely. The German planes had issues with the clouds that rolled in.
So it is the German Luftwaffe?
Yes.
They come calling with their Messerschmitts. ME series.
No,
it's not ME-262.
Come on, really?
No, it's not.
Oh, that would have been a good one.
Yeah, and actually, it's not. You know why? The ME-262 was not in service until 1941.
It was the Prince of Turbojets.
It was the Prince of... It was the first jet-fueled fighter plane.
Junkers JAMO 004.
Yes, that's right. We're just quoting a Blue Oyster Cult ME-262 from the... third album.
Secret Treaty.
Secret Treaty's album, yeah. Great, great song, great record.
Play it, Ryan. Come on.
Nope, I didn't bring that.
I got it.
Sorry.
Can we use your pick?
Put it as a bed track.
Yeah.
Well, and the British had their Hurricane and their Spitfires.
Right.
So they took to the air and duked it out for months, man. It was from July to August, July to October, rather. So that is a long, long time. Now, the Brits were outnumbered, but managed to fight off the Luftwaffe pretty good despite being outnumbered almost 3-2, right? I mean, it was a pretty big...
The German planes were far superior to the British planes, mm-hmm. and yeah.
But one that they fought valiantly, and it became a war of attrition. That's why, I mean, hence the duration of this battle was like August, you know, basically July to October, which is forever long. Yeah. But the victory would be that the Nazis were held off long enough for Hitler to postpone and eventually cancel Operation Sea Lion, which was them full on going to Great Britain and, you know, invading it and taking it over.
That's your look up there. And while you're looking up there, they come in from the sea there. It's just strategy.
So, so what does this all have to do with my record that I brought?
You brought ME-262.
No, I did not.
That's a fake. This is a head fake.
I did not. Now, I mentioned Winston Churchill. Yes. I mentioned the record came out in the 1980s. It's a heavy metal band. Now, I think there's probably people guessing what it is now.
It must be Iron Maiden.
It is Iron Maiden's Power Slave.
Okay.
There, check that out.
There you go.
And, of course, we're going to hear Aces High, which is all about the Battle of Britain, as told from a Royal Air Force pilot.
Wow, did you just get this?
Yeah, it's a new vinyl.
Still shrink wrapped, man.
It was a Christmas present to myself this year.
Excellent. You've been good. You deserve some Iron Maiden.
So, yeah, and Aces High is a barn burner. Steve Harris's bass playing is just crushing.
That guy's sick.
This song really stands out. If you listen to the bass line, it's just like, geez, dude. And, of course, Nico McBrain is killing it, too. The guitars are super tight and always good. Harmonies everywhere. Dave Murray and Adrian Smith. The classic lineup of Iron Maiden. And if you're a guitar player like Ricky... mm-hmm. This is a fun song to learn and play. It's really challenging, believe it or not. And totally believe it. Yeah, it's Iron Maiden. Of course it's challenging. Look it up on YouTube and like figure some of that stuff out and try to play along with the record. It's really a challenge. You're sweating by the end of it going, wow.
That hurt.
That hurt. So this is their fifth album. And it's as I said, it's the last great one to me. Some people may argue that, but to me, this is it. This is where it ends. Because after this is Somewhere in Time, and that was just too keyboardy and not cool.
You know, we should do a themed episode one time, Last Great Album.
Ooh.
Right?
Yeah, we should.
It'd be really cool.
It could be tonight.
let's start now.
interesting to note that this is the first time all of the same members recorded a second album in Iron Maiden. And by that I mean if you go back through their catalog... the personnel changed on every album prior until this album.
Okay.
So their self-titled first album in 1980. After that, guitar player sacked.
Okay.
Killers comes out. Singer is sacked.
Right, after that.
Number of the Beast comes out. The drummer is sacked.
That's right.
Peace of Mind comes out. Nobody's sacked.
Right, so they
And they made a second record.
And they've just found the four. And now we finally got it, you know? And
right.
They put out a dud after this.
And Somewhere in Time. And then is it Seven Son after that? Still the same guys.
I think so, yeah. I think that followed.
And I want to say Adrian Smith may have left after that. I don't remember. Yeah. I jumped out of the plane at that point. I quit the RAF.
I was shot down.
All right, so let's drop the needle on it, man, and check this out. This is a classic, and I wanted to kick it off with a bang, and nothing like a World War II air battle to get things in gear, get the blood pumping here. So from 1984 on EMI Records in the UK and Capitol over here in the States, September of 84, from the album Power Slave, this is Aces High.
Put them in the Iron Maiden.
Up the irons with some Iron Maiden.
Yeah.
Drop that needle, AD. We'll be right back. The Battle of Britain is about to begin. But if we fail, then the whole world, including the United States, including all that we have known and cared for, will sink into the abyss of a new dark age made more sinister and perhaps more protracted by the lights of a perverted science. Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duties and so bear ourselves that, if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
Mm.
Yeah. If you say so.
BJ was the one lone dissenting voice.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Wow, powerful speech, man.
Thanks.
Thanks, I wrote that.
I think I plagiarized a little bit of it.
Yeah. Oh, bursting right out of the chute there, buddy.
Yeah, you bet. Iron Woo. Maiden, yeah. Ace is high.
Yeah.
What you got?
Well, I tell you what I got, man. This is going to be fun. This is, I'm excited about this. You know me and new music. I get so excited about certain bands. You know, this band is from Cincinnati, Ohio, the Queen City of Cincinnati, Ohio. They got together in 2004. This is their fourth studio album out of five, although it's only their second one on a major label. So they had, you know, what they did was, I mean, they formed in 2004. They put out their first record a few months after that in early 2005. And I mean, dude, they got in the van and they drove. And they drove and they drove. Once the record was out in 2005, all of the rest of 2005, 2006, and 2007, they were just literally in their van going from old school, like you used to do.
Oh, yeah.
You know, pack your shit and go. And, kind of made a little bit of a name for themselves. Now, oddly enough, like, you know, they put out five albums. Vinyl-wise, they only put out, like, their first album is not available on vinyl. That was like a self-release, so there was no label involved. The second one is on a minor label, and they released that on vinyl.
Cool.
Then the third album, they got signed to a major, and...
What major label do you know?
Is
there any left?
It was, I want to say it was Sire. I want to say it was Sire.
Oh, they're still around?
Yeah. Well, this was, I think it was.
Interesting.
It was Sire, might have been. But anyway, so they didn't put that out on vinyl. I guess the label went, nah, you know, we're not going to spend the money.
Oh, there you go.
Right?
Then it's making sense.
Right. And then the fourth album, which I've got, is thankfully out on vinyl. Let me tell you something. I don't know how I lived so long without this record.
Really? Taylor Swift?
I'm going to tell you something. Yes. I'm going to tell you something. This is easily my favorite, like, of all, like, the new bands that I've been digging, like Cadaver, you know?
Cadaver,
Liz turned me on to fucking Cadaver. They're fucking badass. You know, band like the Sword. I love them.
Oh, yeah.
Sabbathy and Heavy and and like the Fratellis, they're fun. I love that band. And that band you like, like Traveling Buddies.
What?
Explorers Club.
Explorers Club.
Yeah, yeah. Traveling Pals.
Travels.
It's like a Bob Hope, Bing Crosby movie. He's my traveling pal. He is my...
I have a guess on what is in there.
Okay. Don't give it away yet.
Okay.
Hold your guess, and I'll let you guess.
Hold your guess, Sybil.
All right. So they're just slugging it out, you know? And they're finally getting a little notoriety. When they first came out, they were kind of a post-hardcore sound. So each album found them getting a little bit more... I don't want to say accessible, because I hate that word, but... finding themselves, finding their own sound and their own look and all that. So it was really cool, you know. But this album right here is a modern day fucking masterpiece. Easily.
Let the record show he was holding his mystery box above his head and shouting like it was.
Waving it like a newspaper. Hear ye, you know? But I'm going to tell you something. This, I mean, you know how the top 10 albums of all time, right? And it'll change tomorrow.
Yeah.
This album is easily in my top 10 albums of all time.
And the release, what year is this album?
2000. It came out, this album came out January 24th, 2012.
2012. Oh,
yep,
that's right.
IRS. label.
Oh, it's
right?
IRS. Okay.
IRS. I'm talking about Eric Nally, Sky White, Daisy Kaplan, Lauren Turner, Alex Knopf, and Aaron McVeigh. What's your guess, Ryan?
Well, I don't know if I'm right. I was going to say Foxy Shazam.
Foxy motherfucking hey! Shazam. Welcome to the Church of Rock and Roll, dude. If this album does, this album, Ryan, everybody listening, you have to buy this record. You have to buy this record.
It is a decree from on high.
You have to. This is the this record, I mean, it's seriously, it's fun. I mean, these guys, it's got amazing power pop, hard driving rock and roll. It's got just the sweetest ballad. He's singing this one song to his boy, his kid, and he's kissing him goodbye. Like, dad's got to go back out on the road again.
Ooh.
Dude, it. Oh, the vapors.
Ooh,
dude,
yeah, look at the vapors going. Don't you play that one.
If you don't shed a tear, you have no soul, you dark demon from hell. I mean, it's just...
if you say so.
Right? I mean, seriously, it's a tearjerker. You know, but this has got... It's got rock and funk. It's got soul, hardcore soul. The harmonies, the vocals, dude. The songs are amazing, the arrangements. I mean, and the band is shit hot, man. This record, Ryan...
Okay.
Dude, from so what, stem to stern. I give it a B minus.
Chris Gow gives a B minus.
No, this it's pretty cool because it hit a lot of charts at the same time. That's what I'm talking about. The variety and the versatility of this band and what's on this album. There's so many facets to this band and all of them are good. It was on the US top 200 chart. It hit, you know, 115, which is overall, mm-hmm. but on the rock chart it hit number 35. Also, it hit 24 on the alternative chart simultaneously and number 12 on the hard rock chart simultaneously.
All right.
So that's respectable. That's quite a feat, you know. But yeah, this album's called The Church of Rock and Roll, and of course the band is, as Ryan said, Foxy Shazam. And I'm telling you, I love this. I love this album. I don't even know what more to say about it. It was produced by Justin Hawkins.
Oh, what? He's from Queens of the Stone Age,
lead singer of The Darkness.
Oops.
So they're pals, and you'll hear some of that.
Again, I'm a little rusty.
That's okay, and I'm a little bit rock and roll. So what I'm going to play now. If I'd have got my first pick, if I'd have gone first on this show, I would have played Welcome to the Church of Rock and Roll, which is that would have been a great first
burner opener. Yeah.
Yeah, opener for the new you know, millennium or whatever we're in, decade.
Millennium.
Yeah, whatever. it's a new hour. But I'm going to play the one that if anybody's familiar with Foxy Shazam, I'm going to play I Like It.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And this is just a rock and roll. You've heard this?
I think I have. Oh, yeah,
dude. If you, I've seen Ryan McKay dance once drunk.
Oh no.
Yeah, it was he was with dancing with a bar stool, I believe, somewhere in Barstow. But yeah, I guarantee Ryan, you're going to be
made up.
You're going to be grooving. I did make that up. You're going to be grooving on this. This has such a thick, fat beat. The drum tones are ridiculous. There's a trumpet player in this band, a rock and roll band with a trumpet player, and it's just cool.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing about this song you won't like. Let's just put this fucker on. I'm going to play I Like It, and it's track two, Ryan, side one. Look at that, man. Brand new. I'm telling
you. Yeah, I think Mark the Animal Mendoza played flute with those guys sometimes.
Is that my Magic Dick reference there, I think? Yeah. Right on, VJ, you tagged me. You got me on that one. Magic Dick played flute on that, actually, though. So, anyway, let's play some I Like It by Foxy Shazam from the Church of Rock and Roll album. Strap in, dude. Seriously.
Oh,
Foxy Shazam. That's what that is.
Mm.
I love this album. This, oh, fuck.
It's impossible not to like that. It's so funny.
You should see the videos. They're great. This is one of the funnest. They're fun. They're flashy. They're fucking cool. And this album. Oh, by the way, this album, part of why we like vinyl, we're talking about that. When you hold that record in your hand, it's not this tiny little CD, but it's this big, tangible thing you can hold in your hand. Yeah. And, you know, it's part of the joy of vinyl, holding that album cover and looking it over, right? Well, the lyric sleeve, there's, you know, an additional insert with the inner sleeve in the album. And it's a photo of the band on one side, you know, talking about blah, blah, blah. It says, Foxy Shazam is a jet plane going down, and we have been playing the same tune the whole way. It just sounds different the closer we get to the ground.
Whoa. I like it. I like
it. A lot. I like it. But if you look over here on the other side, it's the lyrics. Now, part of having an album is you can read the words and look at this.
Speaking of the lyrics, now, am I hearing it correctly that what does he like in the song?
That's the biggest black ass I've ever seen, and I like it. I like it a lot.
It's dedicated to Nell Carter.
Oh, she's Nell Carter. That was
Esther Roll.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Esther Roll,
absolutely.
Maybe.
Yeah. Sorry. Esther Roll. But look,
we'll edit that.
Look at the. But look at the lyrics. Like, can you fucking read those? So they got this big.
You're asking me.
Album. No, but I can't. Listen, that's the smallest print.
Why? What?
Right? I'm going, you guys. I mean, it would have been it's still the perfect album, but I don't know. Wonder if they did that on purpose.
I would need two Hubble telescopes in each eye.
Maybe
to
they
read
just went
this print.
Do it in CD. Format in a small CD font just to fuck with people. It's like, oh, cool lyrics. What the? Because I was trying to get information off it. I actually had to take a picture of my phone on certain parts of it and then zoom in.
You lying motherfucker.
Don't you call me a liar. Don't you be all like that up me.
Speaking of the lyrics, there's.
yeah. But man, what a great, great song. I mean, what a great, great album. And I highly recommend everybody go check out Foxy Shazam. This is the Church of Rock and Roll album. The one before that's good. I've got that on it's just called Foxy Shazam. And that was their first major release. And then the one on their minor release, their second album, was called Introducing Foxy Shazam. So get all three of those. I've got all three of those.
And they're on, great.
Yeah, and they just finished a new album. Called Gonzo, came out in 2014 in April. And later that year, they broke up. Yeah, but they didn't give any reason why. And so they made this album, released it, and then didn't tour. We're done. But not indefinitely. We might come back. We'll probably come back, but we don't know when.
That's the way things are these days.
Yeah.
You know, there's just not the industry to support and keep going. You're like, okay, let's just go home for a while. Especially, like you said at the beginning, they've been on – they tour and tour and tour on a bus forever.
Yeah.
You know, screw that. You know,
and you know,
at some point you want to go home and go, I think I have a house somewhere.
Yeah. And they're putting out, you know, records on major labels now, and it's probably not getting that much better for them. You know, still traveling.
Money, exactly.
Yeah. It's hard to get money out there when you're a touring rock and roll band.
All right. So let's crack open our guest mystery box here. BJ 5000. Is it time to open up the box here?
Yeah.
If you say so.
Now, I hope in here there's some notes. I don't know what's in here, and I don't know if there's notes, but I'm just going to pull a record out and see what we have here.
So what's actually in the box?
We got Sorrows, and the album is called Teenage Heartbreak.
The band is Sorrows?
I'm assuming so. There is notes, so let's see what BJ wrote
all
for us.
All right. Let me see that. Let me take a look.
Here you go.
What you got?
Sorrows.
Thank you.
So this is what... Wow. Ooh.
Cool album cover.
The notes say from BJ, he says, the Poppies were really one of the earliest power pop bands, power pop being the music made by a specific group of bands beginning in the mid-70s and really flourishing in the late 70s and into the early 80s. Power pop carried over a heavy 60s rock influence, but the music was filtered through the perhaps more melodically complex 70s rock sound and also the developing punk rock sound. So I suppose power pop, like punk rock, was a reaction to the way rock and roll had changed in the 70s and a hearkening back to the simpler 60s. The Poppies formed in New York City. They got that going for them.
Yeah, I'm in.
In the early 1970s. Oop, they got that going for them.
Right.
And played a forgotten role in the whole CBGB's Max's Kansas City scene.
They got a dude named Jet in the band, Jet Harris.
I like him already.
Yeah, they're winning. Win, win, win so far.
For example, on Easter of 1976, they played at Max's Kansas City on the bill with Blondie and the Ramones.
Wow.
Hmm. The Poppies released three singles before they splintered into two competing bands. Guitarist Bob Waxman and bassist Patty Lorenzo formed a new band called The Boyfriends, whose song I Need Your Love would eventually be covered by the Ramones on the Subterranean Jungle.
Oh, no kidding. Okay, wow.
And guitarist Arthur Alexander and drummer Jeff Harris formed a band called The Sorrows. That's what we got, The Sorrows. Okay.
Yeah.
With Pretty Boy singer Joey Cola and lanky bassist Ricky Street.
Yep, looking at him, check that out. Guess one's Ricky Street.
That guy. Yep. I see him on the right.
All right.
Yeah, lanky.
Yep.
The Boyfriends only managed a couple of singles, but The Sorrows signed with CBS imprint Pavilion Records and released two classic power pop albums, the first of which, Teenage Heartbreak, is probably my favorite pure power pop album. It's just killer all the way through. I've already played the title track on my show. You guys can drop the needle anywhere you want, but I suggest you play the third song on side one, probably the most rocking tune on the album.
Two minutes
and 24 seconds of manic genius called Bad Times.
Let's go.
That's what
Let's
he says.
It, right on.
All right, BJ.
Dude, this is a great looking album, man.
Yeah?
Really,
of course.
Well, I can't wait to hear this. I just love the way these guys look. I got to find this record. I haven't even heard a note.
I like it. All right, so go ahead and drop the needle there.
Track 3, was it?
Yes, track 3. So thanks, BJ, for sending your mystery box in the mail.
Of course.
And leaving a detailed description of what these records are. So this is going to be fun.
Dude.
Neither one of us.
If you say so.
Look at this album. Like, this is great. These guys look cool.
All right. Cool. We'll drop that needle, AD.
Let's go.
All right, for my next pick, I chose a record from the 2000s, I think. And all right, I'm just kidding. Just kidding, BJ. No, here is the song properly. We had to put that joke in. The band is called Sorrows. The album is called Teenage Heartbreak. The song is called Bad Times. Let's check it out.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
For real this time.
Yeah. We'll be right back.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
That I like.
Yes, bravo. Oh,
wow. That I like.
That's some cool shit right there.
I am liking that. Good job, BJ.
Woo.
Rock and or Roll is the podcast. Is that correct, BJ? That's that the podcast?
Of course.
Yes, Rock and or Roll podcast. BJ 5000 joining us here on the Shabby Road Record Show. Okay, it is my turn for real this time.
Yeah, that was spectacular, man. Wow.
That was really cool. Yeah, I will be taking that record home with me, AD. Sorry.
Oh.
And I'll probably take the other one, too.
There's going to be a Donnybrook here. There's going to be a Donnybrook.
As I said jokingly earlier, it's actually the truth. I did bring a record from the 2000s, from 2006. And this album is a gift from Liz.
Oh.
And I'm really digging
Ryan,
this record.
Ryan, don't you have another song about roller skating or something good?
Oh.
A Trooper reference there.
I believe he was, yes, Trooper from Roller Rinking. Yes. This band features Jack White. And it's the Rockin' Tours.
Rockin' Tours. Oh, that's a good fucking record.
It is a good record.
Yeah.
Here you go. Check that baby
Look
out.
Look at
Ooh,
that.
Shiny. And the album is called...
Didn't Stu Boy King play bongos on that?
No, I think it was Handsome Dick on that one.
I think so, yes. The album is called Broken Boy Soldiers, and it's May of 2006. And I'm going to play track two called Hands is the name of the song. If you know anything about this band, as far as their music, you know the first song on side one, which is called Steady As She Goes. Mm-hmm. And that was a bit of a hit for them back in the day. Great song. And the thing about... So let me ask you this, AD. Where are you at with Jack White?
Hit or miss. I think it's, for me, it's project by project. This project, I think, is his best.
I think so, too.
I like him best in this band.
A lot of his stuff seems to be style over substance to me,
oftentimes.
And that's where he gets into a little trouble.
This is just a great band, flat out.
Yes, and one of the big reasons why this record is successful is because of the addition of Brendan Benson, who is another songwriter and singer on this record.
Yeah,
I like him, his music a lot. He's got a lot of solo albums and stuff. He's primarily a solo artist, and his first record came out in 1996 on Virgin Records, but it was a one-and-done thing. It didn't perform as well. It's a, you know, it's a major label.
I know that feeling.
Yeah. And he got dropped, unceremoniously dropped after one record. But he surfaced again with another solo album in 2002, which brought him a little bit more success. And one of the songs, called Good to Me, was used by a British TV show, and then it was covered by the White Stripes. So there's your connection to Jack White, right?
Okay, I mean, there you go, right.
So they were evidently fans of his work. And so they would do festivals and things together. Jack White would join him on stage to do a song and all this stuff. So they became friends, and then they decided at one point to try their hand at writing songs together.
Now, what do they got? Three albums out? Two albums?
Two.
Yeah.
Two, yeah. And this is the debut one.
Right.
Actually, the first song they ever wrote together was Steady As She Goes, which turned out good enough for them to go, how about a band?
Yeah, how about we do this?
Let's make a band out
of it. Let's go do that.
And so the second single released from this album is the one I'm playing. It's called Hands. It's pretty cool. It's got a cool groove to it. I don't want to use the term modern, but it does have sort of a modern flavor to it. But vocally... And the harmonies with the vocals over the verses and choruses, total Beatles. Sounds like Rubber Soul, Revolver, Beatles.
Now, who's the writer of this little number?
This is Brendan.
Okay.
Yeah. I find myself liking Brendan's stuff more than Jack's stuff.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Well, there you go. So, yeah. But Jack's stuff is always interesting. It's just that it...
Well, I think it plays to the addition of Brendan in the mix.
Yeah.
Because Jack White's other stuff to me is again, it's
style over substance.
Oh, yeah, and I'm a little standoffish with it. I mean, there's some I hear go, that's cool riff or whatever. But yeah, I think that the fact that made this a collaboration more is probably why that's my favorite incarnation of Jack White.
It seems to me like group. Brendan's stuff tends to be hookier.
Okay.
And Jack's stuff is more like track three on side one there is a Jack White one. And it's really cool. Like, the production on it's cool, it's intense, it's got a really cool vibe to it. But as a song, it's just like, But you listen to it as it's presented to you and how it's recorded and how the whole thing lays out.
Right.
It's like, wow, this is a freaking cool tune, but then it's just, again, it's style. You know, it's a style.
Yeah.
Because he's got that really high sort of Robert Plant vocal and...
A little squeaky.
I don't know. There's a component that misses the mark to me on Jack's stuff.
Yeah.
Now, he does some of his best work on here. I mean, it is good. It's a great record.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The other one's great.
Now, I haven't heard the second one.
It's amazing.
And I got to tell you this before we drop the needle on it. This is a goofy thing, but
you're a goofy thing.
I am a goofy thing. I got to show you this. I walked into where I teach at Jive Mine in Glendale, Arizona, one day, and I think it was Greg, one of the interns, was sitting behind the counter, and he's listening to some music, and I go, "Oh, what you listen to? It sounds pretty cool." He goes, "It's this guy, Brendan Benson." I said, "Oh, okay, cool. I've not heard of him." "Oh, he blah blah blah." And he goes, "You know what's funny about him?" I go, "What?" "You guys look a lot alike." I go, "What are you talking about? You guys look a lot alike." So he goes to the internet, and I got this on my phone just to show you, to get your reaction. He goes to the internet, and he finds this picture of Brendan, and then we put a picture of me side by side. Now, remember the photo shoot that you and I did? It was a kind of a Louis Prima thing, but I used it for the D'Addario string endorsement and stuff. Your buddy came down and shot those pictures. Uh-huh. So you remember that picture, right? Yeah.
Right.
That's Brendan.
Bring it over here.
A-B those two.
I remember that one.
Let me get your reaction to...
Here's that guy.
That's me.
Oh, that's your daughter.
Oh.
Now I forget which one's which.
It's kind of a doppelganger thing.
Woo. Yeah. Wow. I guess so.
Yeah, he's the much better looking version of me.
Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't have to agree so quick. BJ5000, is he the better looking version of me?
Of course.
Thank you.
Wow, man. That's cool.
Yeah, so I just thought that was that's actually how I knew about this guy, because I didn't know the members of the Raconteurs outside of Jack White.
The guy what looks like me.
Is that the guy that looks like me?
Right. I love that band.
All right, so let's drop the needle on my doppelganger and friends. This is Hands from the Raconteurs from Broken Boy Soldiers. Their debut record comes out May 2006 on Third Man Records. Check this out. This is good stuff, man.
Thurdman.
Bob Thurdman?
Yeah, Bob Thurdman.
All right. Just play the damn song.
Girl,
Oh, yeah, the Rock Contours.
I like me Reiki. That's good, man.
Yes.
If you say so.
Yeah. Oh, BJ5000, did you not like it?
Hell no.
Oh, come on.
Dude. Oh, whatever. I bet the real BJ likes them.
Yes.
You know?
I think what happened is BJ went into HAL 5000, and now HAL is sort of working on him in a weird way, like he's turning him to evil.
Influence, kind of an evil Svengali thing going on in there.
And also, BJ is at home right now, sitting at a computer with like a virtual reality thing on his head, drooling in a coma because HAL has taken over. They can't wake him.
Of course.
Bad sci-fi flick.
Yes.
Sort of like Tron, but
this
with records.
An alternate reality. All right, AD, what you got there?
I got a Dundee's Honey Brown Ale.
Oh, yes. this used to be your favorite beer. I haven't seen you drink this in forever.
One of my students brought a 12-pack by the other day.
So we've all got, we're all getting down with the honey brown.
It's made real honey.
Mm-hmm. Cheers.
That, yeah.
Hey, that? Happy birthday, Ricky Serrano
last
week.
Oh, yeah, how about that?
Cheers, thanks, that's worth drinking too.
Yup. How many is that, Ricky?
Fuck you.
29.
29.
Again.
29 again.
29.2.
Well, cool, man. Well, I brought, let me tell you something. I brought what is considered not only the first progressive or prog rock album, but it's also considered one of the best. I mean, it's iconic. I brought with me King Crimson's classic.
Oh, my goodness. There
the
it is.
Court of the Crimson King.
I've been looking to get this record forever.
This fucking record.
You can't find it.
Dude.
It's hard to find.
And I don't even want to tell you how cheap I got it.
How cheap did you get it?
I found it at Zia. I was up there. Didn't plan on buying it, but I always go to K. I want to find this album. You never know, right?
Right.
And here, it's in good shape. Check it out, man. So it was, again, thank you for the teenage kids who don't do the lazy kids in the pricing department at Zia. Some kid just was like, I don't know what it is. That's like $16.99. I'm like, are you fucking kidding? And then I had a bunch of points because when you buy albums there, you get Zia points.
Yes.
So I got half off. I got that thing for $7.99.
Oh, you fucker.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Or $8.99. I'm sorry. Yeah.
For this record, that's a great price.
Yeah.
Usually you're going to spend about $20 to get this guy.
And it's just a classic, classic album. Prog, it's heavy. It's everything. It's a Robert Fripp. You know, everybody knows Fripp. He was in, he worked with Bowie and Gabriel Blondie, and of course, most known for his work with Brian Eno and all that stuff. Ian McDonald, a lot of people don't go, who's Ian McDonald? He ended up in Foreigner. He ended up being the guy in Foreigner.
That's unfortunate.
Well, but he did good. I mean, that's
right,
they made some dough, man. You know, he cashed
if you
the
say
checks.
So.
But, he ended up playing keyboards and that. But the voice in this is, of course, Greg Lake, who went on to be an Emerson, Lincoln, Palmer, mm-hmm. played bass on it.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's really, this is a classic lineup. It's an iconic album. If you've ever seen it, it's got that incredible cover on it with the face, that screaming face, which is supposedly – the track I'm going to play is, of course, 20th Century Schizoid Man, right?
And, are you going to play that one?
Oh, yeah. It's just
I miss
heavy.
The summer of Mott.
Now, the thing about that is, though, most of the time.
Yeah. Hal is completely taken over BJ.
It's just. Or it could be Tether Way Around.
Yes. Maybe Tether Way Around.
So, how do you guys pick these records? Just throw darts at your record collection?
Oh, okay.
Hey, definitely on a roll there.
Yes, yeah.
But I mean, this is, I don't even know where I was. I don't even know what I was talking about. No, it's one of those iconic covers. You see it, and it's there. I mean, it's you see it instantly. You go, that album, to me, as a rock and roll connoisseur, I'm like, that record, pick it up. And I don't know why I never had it. It's just one of those crazy things, but I love it. Every track on it's great. I mean, this is, it's considered a masterpiece. Mojo, the record people magazine. Well, no, they do
the record people magazine.
Mojo magazine. They do a magazine, then they do their lists every year. The
right.
Mojo list, and they usually put out a coffee table book of the the 10 most influential, whatever. They'll, you know, they got a series of that stuff. But they ranked at number 4 on the all-time cosmic rock albums, you know, the prog rock.
Cosmic rock.
Yeah, so basically number 4. Cool title, though, right?
I wonder what beat it.
Probably Dark Side of the Moon.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
perhaps.
Okay, yeah, cosmic rock.
Well, yeah, yeah, I mean, because like...
Neil Meriwether's Space Rangers, number 1.
Right, yeah. Well, Rolling Stone, you know, Rolling Stone had their list, same list, different title, I think. It was Best Prog LP, and it was number 2 behind Dark Side of the Moon.
Hmm.
You know, I mean, this is just iconic. I mean, you got the title track, and you've got 20th Century Schizo Man. Now, the thing is, you hear this song when you say King Crimson, people usually will think of this song, and it's not like it's never been played on the radio. It was a pretty decent sized hit, but it was always the edited version.
Oh,
you know, it was always the 320 and get it out, you know, cut to commercial for the FM stations back then. So, you know, the cool part about it, this is in all its glory and like 7 minutes of fucking awesomeness, man.
Oh, strap in, everyone.
Yeah, man.
Handsome Dick Manitoba played mandolin on that track, didn't he?
I think he did. Let me check my notes here.
I don't think, yeah, checking. I'm looking at the record sleeve. Right, I don't see it. But
Pete Townsend, though, called it an uncanny masterpiece.
Really?
Yeah, Pete Townsend loved this. And Ryan, despite being one of the most influential prog albums and most successful prog albums of all time, your pal, Robert Christgau, called it...
He's no friend of mine.
He called it ersatz shit.
Oh,
while giving
they can't print that.
He gave it a D plus.
D plus is ass, really?
Yeah.
Where's that earth-shattering kaboom?
Was that part of the review?
For the
wrecking DJ 5000.
For the record, that was our pal Mario. Shout out to Mario Galliano.
We got some good drops for you in 2016.
Down in New Orleans. Yeah. Oh, Lord. But, man, I mean, come on. Like, Chris Gow just slammed it, man. Like,
really?
I don't know what record he was listening to. This is a great freaking... This is a piece of art here. It's a piece of art. Speaking of the art, though, it's you know, we were talking about the cover, and it's instantly recognizable, of course, you know. And it was painted by this guy, Barry Godber. And he was a computer programmer way back in the 60s. Now, mind you, this record came out in October 1969 on Atlantic Records, October 10th. And he was a computer programmer. Now, go think about this. He was about 20 years old, 22 years old, something like that. No, do the math. He had to have been 23 years old.
We are not good at math.
No, we're not very mathy around here, nor thinky are we. But he had to have been 23 when he painted this, right? And he was a computer programmer in the 60s at that age. I mean, so he had to have been some super fucking whiz kid. I don't know how they found this guy, started researching how they knew him or whatever. But he painted the cover. And then if you open up the gatefold, you know, he did that as well. Now, the cover is the Schizoid Man, according to legend here, according to Robert Fripp. And inside now, if you go inside, that's the Crimson King. Now, check it out. It's kind of a happy, peaceful, sort of iconic, weird
sort of moon face.
Yeah, thing. Now... See how happy and sort of tranquil he is there?
Yeah.
Take your hand and cover up his mouth. See, cover it. Now, look how sad the eyes are.
He's sad, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, like that's cool. That's kind of a cool thing played into it.
And he could be evil if you do that.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah.
All right.
But it's funny, Robert Fripp talks about it. He goes, if you were to cover the smile, the eyes reveal incredible sadness. Right? Yeah, he's doing kind of a Dio thing with take on that. But
yeah.
Yeah, anyway, but I mean, I think what I like most about this album is the production. It's so thick. It was done on a 1-inch tape, Ryan.
What?
Yep.
Really?
1-inch, 8-track.
Damn.
So, right? And the production's big, and it really comes alive. But it's weird. I guess when they went to press with it, you know, to do the test copies, they're listening back, and something's like all weird. So they found that the tape heads... The record heads, when they went to master it, were out of alignment.
Uh-oh.
So it almost went out that way. Oh. So then what they did was they had, because it had already been gone over once, they had to burn one life. In other words, re-record from the original tape. And so there was a second generation. So this album, even though it sounds really, really cool – it's, you know how when you play tape over tape and you mm-hmm. like one generation of.
Sure. Yeah.
So that's what happened to this album.
So it's no, even in its purest form, it's a second generation.
Second generation. Yeah. Pretty trippy. And they were like, oh, fuck.
Bloody hell.
damn it. It's happened three times already. But yeah, so, but it's still, it, you can hear, they say, especially in the song, some distortions here and there, and some of the high end gets a little sketchy, but I love it, man. It's just for what it is.
Classic.
The package. Yeah, it's classic. So anyway, dude, let's just put this
AD, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Ross the Boss played harmonica with these guys.
He did. He did. No. He did.
Oh, it, yep. It's not in the liner notes.
Oh, it might have been the Dave Clark Five.
That could be it. Yeah,
I think so.
I think he's misfiring.
I'm a Dave Clark Five expert, by the way.
BJ is misfiring. Are you ready to drop the needle here?
Yeah, let's do that. So let's put on 20th Century Schizoid Man by King Crimson from their In the Court of the Crimson King album, subtitled An Observation by King Crimson. Crimson. It's just so, right? Drop that needle.
We'll be right back.
Oh, ooh. And here come the fucking flutes.
Jesus, with your flutes and stuff.
All day with the flutes.
Yeah, man. No, this is, I mean, dude, come on. How iconic is that? How fucking iconic is that, right?
I loved it.
Dude.
That's so heavy for 69, man. Yeah. Think of that.
And again, the uncut version. So, you know, on the radio, it was kind of a minor hit. You know, a lot of people have heard the song. But, you know, the 3 minutes and 20 seconds and done, radio, FM radio cut. Or, you know, actually they were doing AM radio back then sometimes. But when it, you know, when it hit the radio, that's the version more people hear, is a shorter version of that.
I'm sure there were DJs out there that were playing the entire thing.
So Barry Richards probably.
Smoke weed.
Yeah. That's a go out do a bong. But yeah, so I mean, and that's, you know, the second concert I ever saw was a little place called the Alexandria Roller Rink in Alexandria, Virginia. And it was Alexis Corner opened the show. Mm. Then it was King Crimson and then Humble Pie.
Oh my God.
Dude, it was first time I ever got high. some hippie in an army jacket handed me a bowl of hash. Here, kid. That was 71. I was not yet 12.
And the rest is history.
The rest is, I've forgotten that. Good thing I wrote it down. No, but I mean, come on. Classic. BJ 5000. What do you think about that one?
Yeah, I think that was one of the songs featured on that show Glee, wasn't it?
I missed that episode.
Perhaps, yeah. Perhaps.
I missed all those episodes, actually.
So, yeah, man.
He might be right, for all I know. I've never seen one episode of that.
Of course.
BJ's a lot smarter than we are.
Speaking of BJ, he's got his last pick here in his mystery box here.
Right.
So
that's right.
It's time to unsheath the final pick from Mr. BJ 5000, and it's the Plimsolls.
Right. Okay.
0 Hour. Do you know anything about these guys?
I know who they are, but I'm not familiar with their music. I'd probably sound like a dork for not. Because I think all the cool people were listening to Plimsolls. And I'm most certainly
is that
not
right?
One of them.
BJ, what do you think about that
stuff? Of course.
Yeah.
So here's what he says. He says, while the Poppies were doing their thing in New York City, there was another similar band who were doing it even better all the way across the continent in Los Angeles. Wow. A three-piece band called The Nerves, made up of guitarist Jack Lee, bassist Peter Case, and drummer Paul Collins. The Nerves would...
Paul Collins from Genesis?
Mm-mm. Categorically false. The Nerves.
The Nerves.
Would self-release one incredibly great four-song EP in 1976. Thank you. Okay. Honey Brown's kicked in. Two songs written and sung by Lee, and one song each sung by Case and Collins. That would be Paul Collins, not Phil Collins.
Singing drummer.
just like his brother Phil.
Phil,
right?
Yeah.
Of course.
Yes. Jack Lee's brilliant opening track, Hanging on the Telephone, would eventually be a hit for Blondie. Hey.
Mm-hmm. Big one for them, too, huh?
And then he goes on to say, The Nerves. Eventually splintered, with Jack Lee embarking on a solo career, with Peter Case and Paul Collins forming their own bands. Drummer Collins... That, again, is Paul Collins.
A split for Genesis tour.
No. He would become the guitarist and vocalist for his band, The Beat, and release one of the greatest debut albums of all time, in my opinion.
What?
Really?
So
that's called The Beat, and it's got Paul Collins switching from drums to a real instrument. Thank you.
Yeah. Then they had Chester Thompson filling in on drums, right?
Probably. Yeah. If you guys haven't heard it, you need to get it. And remember I said the Sorrows album was my favorite power pop album? That's the one he played?
Yeah.
Scratch that.
Oh!
The beat is better.
He just upped it, right?
Yeah. Meanwhile, Peter Case also switched to guitar for his band, the Plimsolls, who debuted in 1980 with a four-song EP called 0 Hour.
That's what I'm holding in my hand right
now. My extra copy of which...
In one of my hands. You know what I'm holding in the other one?
I don't want to know.
A Honey Brown.
A Honey Brown, okay.
Sorry.
My extra
for them.
Yes, thank you. My extra copy of which now you hold in your hands, AD. Wow, he was a clairvoyant in his text here.
BJ scares me sometimes.
Yeah. I suggest you guys drop the needle on the second to last song called How Long Will It Take? Mm-hmm. All right. Well, there you go. I don't know from the Plimsolls.
I don't either. I guess I'm not hip, but I tell you what, I'm reading the notes on the back of the jacket. Mixed at Media Art, blah, 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 blah. Mixed by Dennis Dragon at Chico's in Malibu. Now, Dennis Dragon happens to be...
He was on the Dio tour.
Yes, he was the inflatable, or half-inflated
dragon.
They were like the twins.
Sacred Heart Tour.
Yeah, the twins on Full House, they actually had to alternate them because they were underage dragons.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, we just went
all right,
to,
yeah, that went way too far.
Yeah.
Actually, it didn't go anywhere.
It did. All right, yeah.
But no, this accurate. Dennis Dragon was a drummer, kind of a surfer, hip, cool drummer from out in Malibu who formed a band, the Surf Punks.
I remember that band. You have their album, don't you?
It's
terrible.
It's awful. And I definitely have to play a song. The only reason I haven't played, because it's just fun. It is really stupid record.
Yeah.
But it's fun. but the songs are like a minute 40. And I'm like, okay. Well, yeah, I'm going to kind of burn a spin by doing it. Okay, here's we'll talk longer about it than the damn song is, you know?
Yeah, it's better for you to play 7-minute prog epics.
It is. Well, the last one.
Oh, the last one. Okay.
Yeah, come on. It was worth it. I should have played that Surf Punks today, you know? Yeah. It's going to balance the time out. But no, Dennis Dragon is the brother of Daryl Dragon,
okay,
who was the harmonica player for Jay Giles. No.
well played, sir.
Thank you. No, he was the captain of Captain and Tennille.
What? Really?
Yeah. Daryl Dragon is the captain. You know Captain and Tennille?
I've never known his real name.
Yeah, Daryl Dragon.
What is he the captain of?
Dragons?
Tennille, it says.
Captain of the dragons.
Okay.
Yes, captain of all dragons. Yeah, so his brother Dennis, who was a surf punk. Dude, I'm playing this. Next
Boy,
week.
How do you go from surf punk to Muskrat Love?
And then the Plimsolls, this hip band.
What?
Yeah,
interesting.
It's pretty cool. So I'm dying to hear what this sounds like.
Well, let's drop the needle. How long will it take?
Well, I can get right to it.
well done, sir. So thanks again to BJ from the Rock and or Roll podcast for sending a mystery box to us and also invading HAL 5000 with his own unique brand of humor.
Of course.
Where is that earth-shattering kaboom?
Where's that earth-shattering kaboom?
That's my favorite drop of 2016. Don't even do any more drops. That's my favorite. All right, here it comes. Here it comes. What was this? The Plimsolls. That I like.
Two for two. I like them both.
Yeah,
that's
yeah, that
really cool.
Did I detect a second or third verse edition of a maraca? You know how I love those.
Yeah, just that nice. Last little, you know.
I'm a fan of a second or third verse maraca edition.
Yeah, it steps it up a notch.
It does,
subliminally.
Yeah.
You don't hear it, but there's something that sustains and then just steps that energy up. Rather than second verse, same as the first.
Right.
Here we go again. There's this mysterious, invisible energy, and it's a maraca or a tambourine hitting two and four or something.
So, yeah, the Plimsolls. How long will it take is the name of the song. What was the name of the record? Oh, 0 Hour. It's an EP.
Good
Zero
record. Hour. Yeah, I like that, man.
Very well done, BJ.
Yes.
Of
two
course.
For two. Okay. If he doesn't say so himself.
I think these drops are going to live way beyond this one episode.
Fantastic.
Oh, this is episode number 69. We guested on his podcast, Rock and or Roll, on episode 69.
Get out. Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Serendipity.
If you say so.
We did. You know it.
Wow.
Damn it.
He did
BJ.
Us and we did him.
Okay.
That was one of my films.
Yeah. We did him.
We did him.
Wow. Okay. So, you know, we're not sending these records back, are we?
Well, one of them we can.
We
it's
can't
a
be responsible
up.
For costly shipping. So we're going to fight over these, which draw red and black, right? Just like we do at the top?
Yeah, why not, right? So, because we're
whoever
both
whoever gets
going,
first pick?
Yeah.
All right. They're both great.
I'm leaning Plimsolls.
I think I might be leaning the same way. But
Plimsolls.
Let's throw.
Meet the Plimsolls.
Liz, you want to do the honors again, left or right?
You ready?
Yeah.
Left.
Red.
Fuck.
What does that mean?
That means AD gets his choice. Which one?
I tell you what, why don't you take Plimsolls with you?
What?
I'm that guy.
You don't have to be that guy.
I'm that guy. I like the other one.
So you always have something to hold over me?
Listen, no.
That's,
yeah.
You're that guy.
Yeah.
That
guy. No, yeah. It's not. I'm not that guy yet.
So you get Sorrows.
Yeah, I think Sorrows has got more of a punk edge. That's a little bit more me,
right.
I think. The other one's more polished, refined,
go,
like yourself, huh?
BJ's listening going, you guys are supposed to fucking send those back.
Nope.
Yeah. I thought Ryan sent it back.
Right, yeah.
It's in the mail.
Wow.
It's in the mail. Good. Keep waiting for him there.
Yeah.
Well, all right, so
at least you know what he knows where they are. We just told him where the fuck they are.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
So, all right.
So, well, thank you, BJ, for hanging out with us.
Thanks for having me, guys. Now, how the fuck do I get out of here?
He's still in some kind of weird alternate universe where he's just sitting at his computer drooling in a coma.
Oh, listen real quick, too, before we split. I'm going to get more information on it, but Emmett Rhodes, a Shabby Road favorite.
Mm, yes, he is.
Is working on putting out a new album.
What?
And he's got his first full-length album since 1973.
Wow.
So he's
damn.
Doing a GoFundMe thing. I don't think
what?
It's GoFundMe per se, but Google Emmett Rhodes. I'll have more information on the next show. We're actually going to send – I'm buying his record. I'm going to send him some money. He needs the old GoFundMe thing, but fucking Emmett Rhodes –
yeah.
What?
There's information on our Facebook page, so if you want to check us out on Facebook.
That's right, yeah. We posted
you, you put it on there
online.
It's a couple weeks ago, or a week ago.
Yeah, check that out, man. Just, you know, send Emmett Rhodes $30 and get yourself a limited edition clear vinyl, you know,
man.
First run LP.
43 years later, he makes a record. Interesting.
Dude, yeah.
Got, I mean, just for that, I'm sending money out.
Yeah, so. He's got me. He's got me. So anyway, I just thought I'd bring that up. It was kind of my little show notes. And
yeah, great.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. So let's thank Ricky Serrano for hanging out with us tonight. The birthday boy.
Yay, Ricky. Make way for the birthday boy.
Oh, yay. 29 again.
29.2.
He didn't get 29 right last year, so he's trying it again.
Yeah.
And, of course, we got Liz Morgan, our liquid mistress. And I guess that's about it, right? I'm looking across the room here, and I'm seeing a man who is now taken off his shirt, and he's put on a Baby New Year sash. A.D. Adams.
Belly like Buddha, my friend. Well, I'm looking across the room, and I see a face from the far and distant past.
Brendan Benson?
December 2015. And that face belongs to Ryan McKay.
Yes, bravo.
That's me.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for listening. Episode 69 is in the books. We'll see you guys next week for episode number 70. And, oh, it's going to be good. We're going to, we got so much to tell you.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And thanks once again to BJ, Rock and or Roll Podcast.
Yeah,
we'll see you guys
you
in number 70.
So.
I'll see you guys episode 70.